Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey, the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Welcome to this edition of Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everyone.
And Bishop Ben.
Greetings and blessings to everybody.
We're so glad to have everybody here tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about fear. Reverend Mark kind of hinted at it last week, and I thought that would be a great idea for us to tackle as we go about these, this kind of series of various things confronting people of faith. And fear is a big one right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we face financial collapses and job market issues and wars and rumors of wars. And, you know, it's the draconian laws being passed in the United States against LGBT and women. You know, there's a lot of fear to go around nowadays. Some of it justified and some of it just run rampant. And so we want to kind of touch on that tonight a little bit. So,
well, and you know, it's such a strong emotion. It can be a strong state of being, and we're often told in our belief and our faith through Scripture to fear not.
Right.
Many a times we have passages in Psalms and so forth telling us throughout Scripture when angels appear to individuals in Scripture to fear not. Because the unknown seems to traumatize most of us. It
yes.
causes so much anxiety in our lives. It causes so much. It moves. Well, I would say the unknown starts off with anxiety with us, and then moves us over into just a state, if we dwell on it, meditate on it, of fear about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen, so forth. And so many people have different fears, you know, fear of being alone, fear
yes.
of not having enough, fear of what will happen globally, fear of what happens just when you pull out on the road. In my day job, I work with a lot of people who have been in different type of traumatic experiences, and a lot of times when they find themselves in that same setting, fear grips them. They have to seek out a therapist or someone to speak with on a regular basis to kind of overcome that and have the tools to overcome it.
Right.
And so it's very important to keep that in mind, that it takes so many different forms and it faces us from, you know, some people have fear of spiders and some people have fear of, and what one person isn't afraid of, another person is. I've dated a guy who was super afraid of spiders and mm-hmm. had no fear of snakes, and I hate snakes, and I'm less afraid of snakes as I'm more disgusted by them. They just
right.
gross me out. So, and I think if we allow it to really take root, fear can hinder our life so much.
Certainly.
And can hold us back from so many things, from fulfilling our purposes, our assignments, our calls, the things that we're supposed to do here.
Right.
And I think there's healthy fears, and but I also think fear as a whole can be very detrimental.
Yeah, that famous line from years ago, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, you know.
Yeah.
Which is much easier said than done, I will say. As somebody that deals with anxiety, which is an offshoot of fear, you know, fear causes anxiety. You know, I deal with routine scenarios where fear can be rather paralyzing. And it starts off small. It always does. And then it grows and grows until it becomes this huge monster that there's nothing I can do about at that point. But, you know, try to wrestle that. And so I understand the weight and power of fear from that lens. Bishop Ben?
You know, like you say, you know, I've seen my line of work. I've seen people suffer from all kinds of fear. Fear of losing their home, fear of where their next meal is going to come from, or they're going to even be able to pay rent next month for their apartment or mortgage, you know.
Right.
What boils down to it is, how do you deal with it? What tools are you going to use to deal with it?
Right.
And that's when, you know, when you come into ideas, you know, you think about, how am I going to swallow fear? Am I going to get rid of it, swallowing it, and just putting it, bottling it up until it explodes? Or do I seek help?
Right. Very true. And I think fear, something Blackbird mentioned when he first came in, I think that fear sometimes, too, can be utilized by people as a tool to control.
Sure.
Right. We've seen that in government. We've seen that in churches. We've seen that in all kinds of systems around the world where fear is used as a controlling device. And so sometimes we have to step back and ask ourselves, is this fear something that I am actually afraid of, or is it something I'm being told I should be afraid of? You know, and that's a big distinction, and one that needs to be looked at carefully when we deal with fears.
Yeah, and you know, in religious circles, a lot of times, and again, you can really apply this to several different ways or several different settings, but
right.
You know, I can only talk about my experiences. And you know, if you're not as spiritual as me, or you're not as whatever as me, all of a sudden, you know, you're going to miss this revelation, or you're going to miss this understanding of God, or you're going to miss this thing of God. And and we have to be careful conveying that from leadership positions, whether it's pulpit or teaching or
right.
or a podcast.
Right.
And it kind of goes back to something we talked about several, I don't know if it was last season or the season before,
right.
where we are trusting, where we trust in God's Spirit to guide people to the things that they need.
Right.
Instead of, you know, why do people control from the pulpit, or why do ministers embrace that toxic type of leading, is because a lot of times they don't control, or they don't trust, excuse me, that the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, can guide an individual towards the truth that they need to live, towards the fruit that they need to produce in their lives.
Right.
And so we want to control that behavior because we fear that God's not going to do what we think should be done.
Right.
And so, you know, that I think a lot of times that fear comes in through so certain ministers or certain religious organizations, and so they try to control through, you know, false teachings, and
right.
try to control people's behaviors through XYZ. And so it can be very detrimental, in my opinion, to take that stance. And so, yeah, I have a lot of personal things that I have to deal with and I struggle with. But on a ministerial level, you're faced constantly with the opportunities to be anxious for things or to just downright give in to fear,
right,
on others. And we have to be careful not to move into teaching or preaching or presenting the gospel or scriptures in a way that we're trying to manipulate folks into doing things. We present the gospel, and then we trust the Holy Spirit to speak to the heart of the people
right
where they are.
Right. One of those fears that tend to lead to that nature of control tend to be a fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
You know, things people don't understand, don't know, or don't care to know end up being the basis for a lot of fear.
Yep.
You know, and that has been one of those tools used for years, you know, with the Native Americans and with the Inquisition of people who taught things different than the church believed should be, to our modern day fear of people who are LGBT.
Yep.
And so it's a tool and a tactic that's been used across the board by many different systems.
Yep.
Religious, secular, governmental. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been used a lot. And in a lot of places, the greatest place to find fear is by turning on the television, social media, and, you know, the like. I'm finding myself more and more hermit-like as the days go on. You know, I don't want to watch TV. I don't want to turn on social media. I don't want to, you know, be a part of all of that stuff because it brings all of this anxiety and fear and stress into my life. You know, and especially when I read about things that I have no way of personally controlling. You know, and that's the other aspect of fear these days, is the fear of things that we can't control. You know, things that are out of our control. And we face that fear a lot as well. I think most recently upon what's going on in Gaza, what's going on in the Ukraine, as prime examples of how, you know, our fears, our fear of things that we can't control. You know, I can't stop them fighting in Gaza. I do all I can here to influence positive change, but in reality, there's nothing functionally I can do to stop that event.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't allow fear to build up to the point of anxiety over the fact that there's nothing I can do to stop that.
One question that when I feel anxious about things, you know, we're encouraged to be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer.
Right.
Let our requests be made known to God. And so prayer helps alleviate that anxiety, which to me builds, and if we allow it, leads over into fear. And it reminds us when we pray that we're not alone.
Right.
And that's a key thing because we were all designed for relationship, whether it's divine relationship or people, flesh and blood, little fur animals,
right,
whatever.
Right.
God designed us to have relationships. The other part of it is, I ask myself a very simple question, especially when I'm laying in bed at night or whatever. What can I do right now to change that situation? What, you know, immediately right now, what can I do? And more often than not, the answer is nothing, especially if I'm laying in the bed and, you know, I'm worrying about tomorrow's work day or a confrontation with someone or so forth.
Right.
Sometimes I'll ask myself that question and I immediately feel that angst lift because I know what the answer is.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
That question doesn't necessarily go to the heart of solving all the problems that lead to anxiety and fear, but it to me, it has always helped me to stave off, you know, falling into a place of just utter, you know, coming apart.
Right.
So, I and it's helped me not pick up habits to to try to alleviate fear.
Right. Right. Speaking of this, makes me think about tomorrow. So, for those of you that have been coming to Mass on a regular basis, you know we're doing the series Back to the Basics of Lent. And tomorrow's is nothingness. And so it reminds me, I know this seems totally disconnected, but it'll make sense in a minute. Leave it to us ministers to leave you hanging. So the idea of nothingness, and Thomas Merton wrote about nothingness. We're doing this each week where we have a quote from Merton pertaining to our Sunday. And so I want to read a little bit of that quote. Those of you who are joining us for Mass tomorrow, just close your ears.
Right.
It's not enough to turn away in disgust from my illusion and fault and mistakes, to separate myself from them as if they were not, and as if I were someone other than myself. This kind of self-annihilation is only a worse illusion. It is pretending. It is pretended humility, which by saying I am nothing, I mean in effect, I wish that I were not what I am. To love our nothingness, we must repudiate nothing that is our own, nothing that we have, nothing that we are. We must see and admit it is all ours. To the love of our nothingness, we must love everything in us that a proud man loves when he loves himself. But we must love it for exactly the opposite reasons. The proud man loves himself because he thinks he is worthy of love and respect and veneration for his own sake, because he thinks he is more worthy to be honored, loved, and revered than other men. The humble man loves himself and seeks to be loved and honored, not because love and honor are due him, but because they are not due him. He seeks to be loved for the mercy of God. He begs to be loved and helped by the liberality of his fellow man. Knowing that he has nothing, he also knows that he needs nothing. The proud man loves his own illusions and self-sufficiency. The spiritually poor man loves his very self-insufficiency and desires to be filled to overflowing with the kindness and mercy of God. That's from Thoughts in Solitude by Thomas Merton. And so I think that talking about fear tonight falls into this too, the nothingness. When we embrace our nothingness, then we have no fear of anything else because we have laid down those things which cause us fear. You know, the fear that we'll lose the things that we have, the fear that we'll lose our job, the fear that we'll lose our house, our income, our social standing kind of go away when we accept our nothingness and embrace it. I know that was a long way to get to where we need to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and the hardest part of that a lot of times is dealing things that are totally out of our control.
Right.
And then holding yourself back from creating all the scenarios in your mind of what could happen or what will be or what will not be. And it the hard part sometimes is letting things that aren't bearing fruit to die. As Jesus talks about in our scripture reading tomorrow, tearing down the temple.
Right.
Because the longer we let those things take root and hold on, that which we have no control over, or we do have control over and we've allowed fear to root deep in those things, the longer we allow that, just the more stagnant we become, the more held in place we become.
Right.
We don't carry about grace and mercy towards others. And then eventually, you know, we, because things aren't, you know, we fear how they're going to turn out, or we fear how it's going to happen. Most of the time that never takes place, the scenarios that we have in our head. We've wasted all that energy that could have been devoted to healing in other areas of our lives, or helping a loved one, or being a supportive person in our places of worship. And fear takes a lot of energy out of you. It diverts energy. It throws your focus, mainly because fear often, again, goes into those multiple scenarios in your head of what you should be doing,
right,
or what's the possibility of this happening or that happening. So it can be very paralyzing. And if we don't allow ourselves to step back, knowing that God can work things out and work things better for us, and trusting the unknown to the hand of God, again, we become very stagnant individuals.
Right.
You know, there's ways to deal with it, and we're not downplaying at all anybody's legitimate fears and anxieties, because we all have them.
Right.
Our encouragement tonight is in the direction of, let's recognize it, and let's systematically allow professionals to help us, and the Spirit of God, and our own get up and move forward that's inside of us. Let that take root, because you can overcome it.
Yes, you can.
It can be, you know, I deal heavily with the fear of rejection from people, and that has that's a double-edged sword, because as a pastor, you're never accepted by everybody.
Right.
And so I've oftentimes wondered, you know, God, did you call the right person?
Right.
Because I have all these faults. And then I'm reminded of people like Moses and David and so on and so forth, people that had immense faults in
right.
Scripture, still used, still Paul.
Right. Well, and, you know, outside of my fear of spiders, which is, we can debate whether that's rational or irrational. The only other fear I have that plagues me, it's two of them, but one of the major ones is that fear of rejection. I think most ministers have that same fear. We all deal with that to a certain degree or another. And so, in some ways, it makes some of us good pastors.
Yeah. Keeps you humble.
Because it keeps you humble, but it also helps you to make others feel accepted and wanted and loved. And in some pastors, it creates narcissistic megalomanias, and you know, you just need to turn on the TV for those. So,
right. Oh, yeah.
Bishop Ben, go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, Reverend Mark, and you had the same way, you know, But I have one additional fear on top of that one. And for me, it's, I know I've been a priest and a bishop for many years now, but I still have this fear that I'm not doing my job right. I'm not giving them the correct food to feed their soul and their needs. So I constantly worry, am I doing the right thing? Am I preaching the correct word? Am I feeding my congregation the way they need to be fed? Am I doing my job the best I can? That's right. My fear.
Right. I think a lot of us have that same fear, too. I think good ministers in particular feel that very deeply. St. John Vianney, the cure of ours, once said that he feared that his congregation would get to heaven and he would not.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
That's how I feel.
Yeah, they made him a saint of the church. So, I think that a lot of us deal with that very real and present fear. Am I doing the right thing? Am I teaching them properly? Am I giving them what they need?
Are we giving them the correct advice?
Right. And in some ways, we just have to rely on the fact that God has given us the experiences in life that he's given us so that we might learn, so that we might help others. And that does not make what we go through any easier. It does help allay some of that fear, I think.
Yeah.
And then again, that is part of that embracing the nothingness, too. We accept that that's part of who we are, and then we humble ourselves to ask God to strengthen us to be able to do the job properly.
Right.
And that's that embracing of that nothingness on display there. That's an amazing concept that I will eventually do more writing and stuff on, is that idea of nothingness. It really hit me today as I was writing our church blog post, and it made me really think and contemplate for a moment what that actually looks like. So anyway, that may end up being a podcast topic down the line.
Yep.
What is nothingness, and what does it look like, and all of that. But I do want to say, and piggybacking on what Reverend Mark said, if you are living with an inordinate amount of fear and anxiety, please reach out for professional help from a licensed psychotherapist to help you in that struggle. You do not have to go through that alone. And there are ways to help alleviate some of that anxiety and fear to get you to be able to live a better life. And so, do reach out for professional help if you need it. But mostly what we're talking about tonight, fear-wise, tends to be those things that come to us in the middle of the night as we lay down and try to go to sleep. And it's not necessarily the boogeyman under the bed, but, it's those things that kind of gnaw at us in those silent moments.
Yep.
And that's kind of what we're discussing here. And for me, meditation and prayer does help. I take time to meditate, especially as I feel that anxiety building, and that seems to help quite a bit. Of course, I'm one of those that is also practicing better living through pharmacology, so.
And sometimes that helps.
I had to reach out and get anti-anxiety medication so that I could function a little more, and that has helped tremendously. So, there are ways to help, and God has provided those ways through giving humanity the knowledge and curiosity to go out there and go, I wonder what this will do. So if you're dealing with fear today, I hope that we have helped a little bit with that and getting you to a better place. You're not alone, and there are things that you can do to help alleviate it. And of course, if it's those little nagging fears, things revolving around faith, reach out to your pastor. They're always willing to sit down. Well, most of them are willing to sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down with you and talk with you about it and help you work through those dimensions that you have of fear when it comes to the spiritual world. There are a lot of people out there that fear the spiritual world.
Yep.
You know, especially in our day and age with a lot of stuff about exorcisms and demon possession.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that fear those things. So.
Well, anytime the unknown kicks in, we have to really guard ourselves not to to cut off the allowing a movie theater to set up in your mind and
right.
play out all these different things, and it's hard because your experience tells you certain things, interacting with folks tell you certain things, and so it's hard to do that, and but it can happen through disciplines, and it can happen through, you know, calming yourself and saying, you know, again, what can I do about it right now? What is it that I can, how can I overcome this?
Right.
In this scenario. And especially when you're dealing with other people and the
right.
fear of that relationship, whether it's a friendship, a partner, a marriage, you know, your pastor, your spiritual leaders, and not knowing how they're going to react and or how they're going to do certain things if this happens. And that's when we step back, we pray, we say with the right heart, God, help me walk through this.
Right.
Help me to keep the right attitude and protect me from myself. 'Cause
right.
sometimes we need that prayer. Is God protect me from myself? For those of us that tend to like to think ahead on things and try to, you know, sometimes our overthinking becomes our detriment, and it can be a strong point for us because
right.
you know we're thinking ahead, we're trying to anticipate problems, but also if we are not careful, that overthinking will kick in and it'll go into overdrive into situations that never will develop, never transpire, never just never will happen.
Right.
And we have to be willing to rein that in and realize that's an area of weakness, and I've got to learn to shut that off when I get to that point.
Right.
Of okay, I've overthought enough. Now I don't need to pour into all these crazy hypotheticals.
Right. Something you know, said. Oh, go ahead, Bishop Ben.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm going to say real fast. You know, in the same token, two people can't, you know, the fear, they let it bottle up inside them so much, they let it boil over, and then they don't reach out to anybody for help.
Right.
You know, if you're feeling that pressure where so much fear is about to blow up, please, by the love of God, please reach out to somebody.
Right.
Don't let it take over you. Call somebody. Reach out to a professional or call your clergyman and say, hey, I need some help. You know, just don't sit there and try to swallow it. Because the more you swallow it, the more it's going to be, the worse it's going to be for you mentally.
Absolutely. Yeah, something Reverend Mark said reminded me of this prayer by St. Michael Judge. For those who don't know who that is, St. Michael Judge was victim 01, 9/11.
Yeah.
He was a priest who died giving last rites to people who were dying in the World Trade Center and trying to help get people out. He was a fire chaplain for the New York Fire Department. But after some of his writings and papers were released after his death, one of them had this prayer in it. Said, Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say, and keep me out of your way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest part when we discuss fear, is the fact that we tend to get in our own way. We right. tend to hinder our own progress, as it were, because we hold on so tightly to those fears. And we cannot let them go. We cannot. It's almost like we don't know who we'll be without them. You know, and so we have to come to a point where we can let go of that fear and live a life without being burdened by it, without carrying it around. So I know that's so much easier said than done. As somebody who deals with those types of issues with anxiety and such, I know how very difficult that can be. But I'm also learning for my part how to let go of some of those fears. Maybe not all the time, but at least in situations where I know they're going to pop up, to try to let go of them and say, no, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to let this invade my mind. Because it doesn't serve any useful purpose in this situation. Again, not to say fear doesn't serve a useful purpose, because sometimes it does. If you're somebody walking down a dark alley in the middle of the night, your fear might keep you alive. But
right.
we're talking right. about those fears that do not serve a useful purpose.
Yeah.
So, wow, we had to caveat that a lot, didn't we?
Yes. Well, that's okay. I think you made it.
That discussion needed a lot of caveats to happen, but hopefully that will help people in their daily lives. Do we have any questions or comments while we're here from our gallery of viewers? You can always view our episodes filmed live at unow.com/Bishop Greg. That's unow.com/Bishop Greg on Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can watch the filming of these, recording of these podcasts there and be part of our studio audience, as it were. Or the Peanut Gallery, depending on your thoughts.
Peanut Gallery.
Peanut Gallery, yeah. So, Reverend Mark, do you have any follow-up, closing thoughts?
You know, a lot of people think that maybe they're unhealthy in their level of fear, or no one else really deals with some of these things. We all have things that we're afraid of. Learning how it lands or where it deals and how to get through it. We're all trying to figure that out sometimes. Our faith helps us a lot of times. I believe our faith gives us answers, but again, we have to give over into that. And what doesn't make it easy is it's such a powerful emotion.
Certainly.
It's a powerful part of our lives. And never think that you can't overcome it. It can't be manageable. It can't be something that you are able, for some people, they can put it in the rear view mirror. And they used to be afraid of so many things. But I believe each person can come to a level of betterment
right.
if they'll face it down. Some of the things sound simplistic, but they actually do work. It's just how much do we want to work it? How much do we want to embrace living that life that's stronger?
Agreed. Bishop Ben, your thoughts?
You know, I think the quote you quoted about St. Jude, his prayer says it all. I think that it speaks volumes. That none of us need to get out of God's way and let him lead the way. You know, it speaks volumes. And what more can you say with that?
Right. And like I said, I'll follow up now with a reminder to reach out to somebody. You don't have to struggle alone. There are people that are willing to help, and they can help you through fear, especially those fears that turn into anxiety. So please do take a moment to reach out to someone close to you and let them help shoulder that burden.
Yes.
New tongue, breaking it in still. So on that note, we will say that we will see you next Saturday for our next episode of Expanding Your Faith. Until then, keep shining bright, my friends. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/Expanding Your Faith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.